Chapter 70.
After Karis made him look like a complete asshole, Kip went to the Prism's exercise chamber. He hoped Tia would be there. He didn't want to talk about it, but training with her was better than training alone. She made him feel better just by being there. She wasn't there. He tried this week's layout of the obstacle course, sinking into the blessed distraction of taking apart problems. How could you transition from swinging across the ropes to leaping that pit to climbing that wall without stopping? It was a warrior's meditation. Of course, the calm of it was punctuated when he figured out a perfect combination. He'd need to swing one-handed, left, then right, to build up momentum, and then swing his whole body up parallel. He'd clear pit and wall all in one move. He tried it twice and had to accept that he wasn't strong enough to lift his bulk the way he would need to. Brain better than body. Again. He ended on the heavy sawdust bag as usual, trying to break it open. His fists were getting tougher all the time, and he'd been building up scar tissue and calluses on his knuckles slowly, but he still wrapped his hands in Luxin in order to protect his wrists. As usual, after doing his drills, he finished up by working on that one loose stitch. It didn't seem to have budged in 6 months. Kip was just finishing pounding on that one side with all his fury when someone cleared his throat. Kip almost wet himself. Commander Ironfist was setting down a stack of books on a side table. Books? Down here? But Kip was more worried about the dubious look on the commander's face. Ironfist strode over and wordlessly examined the loose stitch.
"Won't take but a few minutes to sew that up," Ironfist said.
Kip moved to speak, then stopped, embarrassed.
"Oh, that's how it is," Ironfist said. "You want to destroy someone else's property."
"No, sir," Kip said. "I suppose so, sir," he scowled. "I hadn't thought of it that way."
"Can you think of any good reason why I should let you do that?"
"Reasons, yes. Good reasons, no. Have you ever done it, sir?"
"Makes a hell of a mess. Better to stitch it or patch it."
"So you have?" Commander Ironfist grunted.
"How'd it feel?"
A twitch of a smile quickly smothered.
"I'm going to repair that bag, Guile."
Kip's face fell.
"Yes, sir."
"In 6 months."
"Why wait 6? Oh.
Thank you, sir."
A grunt. The commander walked over to his side table.
"Sir, should we talk about—"
He couldn't quite say Lytos and Buskin's names.
"Oathbreakers and traitors are worth only whatever it takes to kill them and nothing more."
He was taking it personally, Kip could tell. The betrayal stung Ironfist as a leader and as a friend.
"Karis told you what Lytos said?"
"How he changed his mind?"
"It changes nothing."
The commander picked up a book, signalling that there would be no more about this. For some reason, though, Kip had found Lytos's last words, incomplete as they were, to be comforting. He'd said Luxiat. Of that, at least, Kip was sure. That suggested the attempt really hadn't been at Andros's direction. That some Luxiat wanted to kill him was bad, but if Andros had wanted him dead at this point, honestly, Kip would probably be dead. The commander was reading, again, with how busy Kip knew he was. It was strange. Kip sidled over to see if he could see the book better. A flat stare met him. Commander Ironfist raised a hand and extended 3 long fingers.
I'll be going, Kip said.
He got to the door and turned.
Good day, sir.
The flat stare didn't alter a whit. The commander lowered one finger. 2. Kip fumbled with the door, the Luxin gloves making him clumsy. He chuckled awkwardly.
Gloves,
he said, dissolving them. The flat stare of "your colossal pettiness" bored through him. 1.
Right, sir.
Kip grinned weakly and got out. He made his way to the public baths. Before he'd got into the Blackguard, he'd never wanted to come down here. He'd thought that joining the Blackguard would be the end of that problem. The Blackguards had their own private baths. As if bathing with the perfect-bodied athletes would be better than bathing with average strangers. 1 or 2 good-natured jibes about being chubby, and Kip was gone. He knew in his head that the Nunks and Blackguards didn't mean harm, that a rough sense of humour was necessary for survival in what they did, but like Andros said, even an obvious, well-defended target might still be vulnerable. Kip laughed off the jabs and shot back his own and smiled, and never went to the Blackguard baths again. The main public baths were separated by gender. Not that some sneaking each way didn't happen with some regularity, and though many people opted for thin bathing robes, more went nude. Even the robes were too much sharing for Kip. Once they were wet, they barely covered anything. They clung to every inglorious curve, and were thin enough that you could soap your limbs through them. Kip had opted instead for sponge baths and washing his head in the basin. There were, however, extensive private baths. Some were reserved for nobility, but others were open to anyone who paid the small fee. Lords got in free, got free soap, got free towels, got access to any temperature bath they wanted, and were given a share of the services of a bath slave, who would bring refreshments or towels. Kip had heard that at other baths in the city and through the satrapies, the bath slave was often a prostitute. But that wasn't tolerated at the Chromaria. The bath slaves here were the same genders as the bathers, and definitely not picked for their looks.
Any of the hot baths unattended today?
Kip asked the head slave of the men's side, signing in as a noble. It was one privilege he was not shy about claiming. An older slave took him to a bath down a long hallway so humid that water beaded on the walls and steam obscured vision. Privacy wasn't guaranteed. Even the small baths could hold half a dozen people at busy times before religious festivals or the Lux Lord's Ball, but most days Kip would either be alone or have to share with only one other person. The man left Kip after making sure he had all he needed, putting Kip's clothing and effects in a basket and leaving him alone with a robe and soap and a summons bell. It was an odd time of day to bathe, late morning, so Kip hung the robe on one of the pegs provided so it would be dry when he got out. Most of the students would be in classes now. Classes. There was a thought. How long had it been since Kip had gone to every one of his classes? He got into the water quickly, despite its heat and the solitude. He reclined against the side. The heat slowly worked its magic on the stiffness in his muscles, and he was beginning to unknot his mind too. What was his problem? Clinging to Caris like that? He needed to grow up. He was basically an orphan, and it was time to deal with that. Someone offers you friendship, and you ask them to be family. For Holland's sake, Kip, you smother people. You're so needy. It's disgusting. And this self-pity is so helpful. Maybe it's time to break that habit, eh, Breaker? Kip scrubbed his hands over his face. He sighed, eyes closed against all the world, letting the steam melt him. When he opened his eyes, there was someone in the bath with him.
Aren't you the bold one? Tisus Malargos said. What are you doing in the ladies' bath?
A bolt went through Kip. He jerked upright and almost fled. Then he looked down. He was stark. Naked. He was chubby and stark naked and utterly trapped. He swallowed. He looked around for identifying marks to show that he was in the men's baths, but the private baths didn't have any. Had the old slave been senile and brought him here by accident?
I'm not in the ladies' baths, am I?
I'm afraid so.
She was definitely amused, just letting him wallow in misery. He looked toward the door and thought about making a break for it.
Don't forget, she said, the baths are at the mesh point.
The what?
The hallways and changing rooms are part of the island, while the baths are part of the interior of the Chromaria and rotate with all the structures above. This time of day, if you're not careful, you could end up heading right out in the main ladies' bath.
Kip blinked. No wonder he'd gotten lost down here before. With the rotation of all of the Chromaria as it followed the sun, depending what time of day you came down here, a hallway might line up with a different room than it had last time you'd been here. He looked back down at the water. It was pretty soapy, right? Pretty much opaque, right? He sat down. I suppose this is revenge? He asked. A quick, puzzled scowl, then a grin.
Actually, no. I had no idea you'd be modest. Especially not painfully so. Or Holland knows the rest of the men in your family aren't. I confess I meant to put you off balance. I thought you'd be amused. You said you were always seeing me naked.
Kip cleared his throat, realizing he had nothing to say. It was true. If she'd simply been trying to shame him, she wouldn't have gotten into the bath herself. She simply would have stood or sat outside it, fully clothed. His mind went back to his grandfather's words about how, if he played his cards right, Tisus would make love with him. And now she was naked, not 2 paces away. He licked lips that were miraculously dry, despite water and steam and humidity and sweat. Oh, oh my. You paid the slave to divert me here? He asked. She was in the water up to her collarbones, and the water was mostly opaque, but it was still inexplicably hard to look at her, and just as hard not to.
I wanted to speak with you privately, she said.
Speak. He could speak, right? Tisis scooted closer until she was seated right next to him. He swallowed. She was sitting so close that it was too intense to look straight into her hazel eyes, the colour perfectly complemented by a thin halo ring of green, with tiny tips like wave caps into the hazel. He looked down and realized that it probably looked like he was trying to stare through the water at her full breasts, and then he realized that it would look like that because it was true. He snapped his head forward. She faked a cough to hide a laugh. It struck Kip like a note out of tune. It was a strange impulse of her not to laugh at him outright when she could. Did she think he'd bolt if she pushed him just that extra little bit, or was it actual kindness? He looked at her quickly.
I'm sorry, Kip, she said. I've been preparing myself to talk with you for weeks now, trying to work myself up to it, and all the time I was readying myself to speak to a guile, and I forgot that you're a 16-year-old too.
That's me. Underwhelming. He had a sudden memory of telling his grandfather he liked to be underestimated, and here was the opposite.
What do you want, Tisis?
She raised her hands in mock surrender. The movement coincided with her sitting up straighter and rising perilously high in the water, her bare shoulders and chest confirming that she was not wearing a bathing robe.
Kip, we have good reason to hate each other, she said, though I like to think my reasons are more substantial than yours are. I know you think there was some big conspiracy against you at your threshing, but there wasn't. We always try to scare people, and when you threw the rope out of the hole, I really thought you weren't allowed to, so I gave it back. It was an innocent mistake. On the other hand, you killed my father.
When you put it that way. Whatever that thing was, it stopped being your father long ago, Kip said.
Something it would have been nice to judge for myself, rather than assured that by the man who killed him. Besides, your father and uncle destroyed half the world. I
and your family joined the wrong side to help do it, Kip said.
Man? An error we corrected,
Tisis said, her chin drifting up.
You came out against Dazen?
When?
After he was killed at Sundered Rock?
Brave.
I would think of all people, Kip, that you might not be the first to blame a person for what their family did when they were young. You weren't born yet. I was too. Should I blame you for what your mother did? Because I've heard stories from people who heard them from you. So maybe we should focus on where we are today and not odd fights that we had no part in.
That sounds remarkably sensible, Kip admitted. It was easier to focus when he was having to dissect her argument, but at the same time she'd leaned forward and up as her temper got going. He cleared his throat.
Could you,
he took his hand and gestured down a smidge. She looked down and saw that her nipples were right at the waterline, and the water wasn't that soapy.
Oh,
she blushed, and with her pale skin he could tell immediately. She sat lower in the water.
Thanks,
she said. Something touched his naked thigh and he nearly shot out of the water. She burst out laughing.
Come on, Kip, as you so pointedly pointed out, you have seen me naked before. It shouldn't be a surprise.
I don't think that's how seeing a beautiful woman naked works.
The first time I saw you, I was about to go into the thresher and you looked into my eyes and lectured me about self-control. I thought you'd tear my head off if I dared. And the second time, my grandfather...
Her lip twisted.
Believe me, I know I actually owe you for stopping that before it went any further.
He looked at her, and they both burst out laughing. Her laughter wasn't seductive, it was hilarious, full-throated, distinctive. It was the kind of laugh you could pick out of a crowd of thousands, the kind of laugh that snuck out of its cage infrequently and burned the town down when it did, 'cause, hell, it was just going back in the cage again anyway, right? And then she snorted. They laughed harder, and she blushed and laughed and snorted so hard she ended up trailing off in tears. They drifted into a companionable silence as Tisis wiped her eyes. She ended up cleaning off the coal makeup dripping from around her eyes with a little towel. When she was done, Kip stared at her quizzically. Without her makeup on, she didn't look 25 years old like she did with it on. She didn't look her actual 19 years. She looked about 17. No wonder she wore the makeup. She was just a teenager like him, and they were both very, very alone here.
"Kip," she said, "the truth is, my family's in a bad spot. The False Prism's war wiped out the other branches of the family. Perversely, that strengthened us, because with all the wealth and lands of our entire clan in my uncle's hands, we became a major family.
I think that your grandfather thinks we're a threat to him. We proposed that I marry your father Gavin to make an alliance, and we thought your grandfather was going to accept. Instead, Gavin married Caris. It was a slap in our faces, never explained, never apologized for."
She had been intending to marry Gavin, and she'd had to go from that to putting her hands under the blankets for my grandfather. Now there was a turn of fortune's wheel. But Kip kept his features carefully blank. There's a time not to use the lip.
"I don't know why, but I fear Andros has decided to let us be destroyed. The war isn't going well, everyone knows it. Our richest lands are those nearest the Colour Prince's army. We're afraid the Promarchos plans to let the Colour Prince take our lands and wealth and only stop him after he's destroyed us. Kip, you have no idea what it feels like to admit this, especially to a guile, but my family is right on the edge. My mother passed away 2 years ago. My father's dead. If it were a will, my older sister Irene got all the family intelligence. I got all the looks, and all the charisma I should have gotten went to my little cousin Antonius instead. Irene will continue the family line if she absolutely must, but it will be hell for her, and I won't do that to her if I can help it."
"What?" Kip asked. Sure, some women didn't want to get stuck raising children, but a wealthy family would have slaves for that, wouldn't they? A scowl.
"I forget you're not in the gossip circles," Tysis said. "Her interest in taking any man to bed is about equal to your interest in taking your grandfather to bed."
"Oh," Kip said, not understanding. Then, "Oh,
my cousin Antonius was on his way here to bring orders from my sister. His ship was captured by pirates. They haven't asked a ransom, which they would if he were alive."
Her eyes went vacant, her voice an echo of itself. She obviously loved him very much.
"That leaves me," she said. "Kip, our southern plantations and forests can be defended, but if they aren't, those are my people, more than 50,000 of them. I grew up in those lands. I played bankon in their festival parades. I was taught farming and husbandry and logging in those little towns. I played with little boys and girls there. Many of those little girls I played with have children of their own now. Life moves faster out on the farms. I will do anything to save my people."
"Including getting on your back for my grandfather?"
"Yes," she said quietly, reading his mind. "Even that. My virginity for their lives? I'll take that trade any day."
For some reason, the statement made Kip deeply ashamed of himself. He judged Tysis as if she were merely angling for the attention of the most important man in the room, willing to debase herself even with Andros Guile, like she was a tramp or a prostitute. Some of the noble families had made their base on Big Jasper for so long that they had little to no connection to their ancestral holdings. Perhaps the lord or lady would make one trip a year to check how the stewards were keeping things together, but their children were left vying with the children of other nobles for who could throw the most lavish party, who could gamble better or dance better or ride better, with constant talk of who'd bedded whom that morphed into who would marry whom, followed by more gossip of who was carrying on affairs with whom. Or they used some tiny sliver of magical talent to get into the Chromeria, where they ended up doing much the same with a side of studying. Kip hadn't been part of those circles, despite his pedigree, his time taken up entirely with studies or training. That hadn't been a mistake, he knew. Gavin must have realized that if Kip had come in as a bastard from Tyria and been thrown in among those wolves, they would have torn him apart. That was what the Blackguard training was for. That, and Gavin's realization that war was coming, and Kip would need as much martial training as possible. Kip had assumed that Tysis was part of those circles. After all, she was rich and highly talented with green and beautiful. She had to be petty and boring and gossip-mongering to make up for it, right? It made Kip wonder how people judged Gavin Guile, who was frustratingly everything good. Surely they must secretly hate him. Come to think of it, what did people think of Kip? who'd swooped in out of nowhere and taken up the mantle of the foremost family in the Seven Satrapies. Suddenly, the blackguard looked like a warm blanket that Kip didn't ever want to leave. People judged him for himself there, mostly. Some of them even liked him. No one had given him trouble for being Tyrian since he became an inductee. What mattered in his unit was what you were doing to help the unit succeed. Kip hated being judged, but had barely noticed when the judgment of him stopped. And here was Tysis, ready to sell her body to save her people, and Kip was judging her and calling her whore. "Orholm, have mercy," he muttered into the water. "Tysis, I'm so sorry for everything, for how I treated you, for what I said. It was vile. I'm so, so sorry." She blinked rapidly, looked away. "I tried to go back to him, you know, after you left. He wouldn't take me. Put me out of his room like a—" Kip said, "He is not a nice man." A deep hatred started burning there. It was one thing for Andros to debase Kip, then point out his debasement and laugh at him. It was quite another to see him do it to someone else. "No," she laughed, cried. She dabbed an eye with a finger, getting control of herself. "No, he's not that. You know, the only thing that really surprises me is that he didn't bed me first. I mean, I already feel pretty gross about myself." "Gross about myself? Well, you know what I mean. I would have felt 100 times worse if he'd used me and then cast me off. It seems more like his style. I mean, we'd barely gotten started." "Sorry. You don't want to know all that. Maybe he was afraid I'd get pregnant and then he'd have a bastard to worry about."
No, it wasn't that. He was playing a different game. But Kip didn't say anything.
Hey, she hadn't said another bastard to worry about, so apparently she had some tact.
For the next few minutes, as she recovered, Kip studied her openly.
Without the makeup she always wore, she was still intimidatingly beautiful, but this natural beauty was softer and, of course, younger than that icy perfection. He found himself warming to her. "What just happened? Did we just kind of become friends? How did that happen so fast?" Andros Guile, who pissed on everything, had said she would try to seduce Kip. Was that what this was? A very clever seduction? Was she simply playing him? He couldn't see it. Hell, if she was this good and this was all an act, he'd rather be on her side regardless, because if she was this good, no one else was going to stand a chance.
"My skin's getting all pruny," Kip said. "How do we get out of here gracefully? Ladies first? I mean, it doesn't matter since I've already seen you naked, right?"
She sighed and let herself sink into the water until she was blowing bubbles in it.
"So?" she said.
She winced. Kip waited. "Nothing."
"So?"
he prompted. She bobbed higher and he glanced down through the water, though he didn't think she noticed.
Damn it. And he'd been so high-minded a few moments ago. "So I didn't just come here because I needed a bath. Though I notice you haven't washed, pruny or not."
"Oh, right."
Kip picked up the soap from the edge of the bath. He started soaping up his left shoulder awkwardly.
"So I shared all about my family and the situation I'm in," Tysis said.
Kip stopped soaping. She expected him to do the same.
"Tysis, it's been really nice talking to you. I mean, really nice. A huge surprise, actually, but a bunch of classes end right around now, and dozens or hundreds of people are going to be heading down here any minute. I don't think we have time for my whole history."
They heard the banging of a distant door slamming, and both of them nearly bolted.
"Right," Tysis said. She licked her lips. "But you are isolated too, right? I mean, I need friends, you need friends, right? Something solid."
"Sure, that'd be nice. I don't know if it's possible. Sooner or later I'm going to get kicked out of the Blackguard, or nicely promoted out of it.
You saw. My grandfather hates me.
I've secured funding to keep on at the Chromeria, but yes, you could say my position is not strong."
He'd been so assiduously not thinking about it that thinking about it now slapped him in the face. She exhaled a big breath again.
"That's pretty much what I thought. I have a plan, and I don't want you to answer now, but I want you to think about it seriously. Come down to the baths next week, same time. The same slave will meet you and bring you back here."
"Now I'm curious," Kip said.
She was blushing.
"This is not exactly how I'd planned for this to happen."
She took a deep breath. let it out. She bobbed under the water, scrunched her face as she emerged.
"Why am I the one who feels awkward here?" Kip asked. "Marry me, Kip."
A sound like someone was strangling a small animal came from somewhere. Oh, Kip's throat. She blushed harder.
"Just think about it."
"What?" Then she daintily dashed up the steps out of the bath, snatched Kip's bathing robe from its hook, and ran tiptoe out of the room. Between her words and her nudity, Kip was speechless.
"Hey, wait!" he shouted finally. "I don't know how to get out of here. There's only that one robe."
Then he realized he, a man, had just shouted, "In the women's baths." Idiot. He jumped out of the water and dashed in the opposite direction from where Tisis had disappeared. Naked turtle bear coming through.